thankful to be here with you all. Somebody accused me last night of couldn't hear me, and after you hear me, you may wish that I put that mic back out front there. Do you mind? This is not real big. I have all my scripture in my notes. If I lay my Bible back here, is that okay? It's the closest thing to my heart, but it doesn't fit on this cover. I'm going to seek to be very, very truthful with you. I'm going to seek to be sure that I'm accurate in quoting from God's Word, because that's why we're here. Wasn't all this music a blessing? You're the special music. You guys were awesome. Tony, I need you to stand up just for a second. Okay. Now turn around. I think she has her sweater on back. And my next question is, how did she do that? One like that, but I have lots of questions for her after the session. I love it. But I thought, well, I might be able to get one of those buttons, but it's really so classy. You are such a class act there, Tony. People just dress differently down here, I guess. Do up in the redneck country of Raleigh. I knew I could do that to her. And she'll probably get me back. She will have the last word, I'm sure. So now she's distracted because she's thinking, okay, how can I make fun of her? There are many ways you could make fun of her. So. All right, this is our first session officially. Last night I took you to Psalm 37, which is my favorite chapter of God's Word. I know he wrote that for you, for me, but it's okay if you want to claim it as well, and several of you have told me that's your chapter in God's Word. We talked about seven things last night that we have as our gauge for how we're rooted in him. Do we trust in him? Do we do good? Do right? Do we delight ourselves in what he has given us to do today? Do we commit our way to him? Do we rest in him? And do we fret not? I can be a fretter. I'm this type A person, and when my little plan gets twisted and turned around in a day, that's very, very difficult for me. I don't like to not get my to-do list done. And I told you last night that I actually come before the Lord every morning. And I sit and I say, Lord, this is what I would like to accomplish today. But I want you to know that you can do whatever you seek to do in my life. And then when he does it, I have to accept that as from the good hand of my good God. And this morning, I'm going to give you some truths that I treasure. I treasure these truths, and I also gauge my walk with Christ by these truths. I have this outline in my Bible. It's there all the time. I have one that I carry with me in my purse, because in a day, I get off track. And I go to Psalm 37 often, but I also go to my truths to treasure. And I think, okay, when I was a child, I learned that prayer, God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. By his hands we all are led. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. We pray that at my table when I was a little girl for a long, long time before my parents really taught me how to pray scripturally. And so as a child, I knew God was great and God was good, but they were just words to me. Now they are truths that I treasure. And so I want us to look at four different statements about the goodness of God. Because as you sit here today, you cannot be beautifully rooted in Him if you do not know the truth. The Bible says the truth is what sets us free. There are those of you that sit here today that are eaten up with bitterness. There are those of you here today that have troubles. Either you've just come out of a terrible trial, or you're in the midst of a trial. Or if you live long enough, you're going to go through another one. That is life, because this life is not perfect. If it was, we wouldn't be here. You know, I'm looking for, years ago, the perfect husband. And my mom told me one day, you know what, if you find him, you're going to mess him all up. Thanks, Mom. But that was a true statement, and I'm sure she really agrees with that statement now, that poor Mac has just been all messed up by me. But I want to let you know that these truths I'm going to give you four truths under God is great, and then hopefully we will get through our four truths of the goodness of God. And then we're going to land on something at the very end that will seal this session in our hearts. I hope you will tuck this session into your Bible or in a safe place and run back to it. Maybe it won't do for you what it has done for me, but this session has changed my life. God is great. Number one, God is limitless in His power. He is too powerful to ever fail. You say, well, I remember a situation in my life where it appears that God failed me. Well, we need to get some scripture. So here are your verses. This is not, these are not all the verses, but I'm trying to give you scripture because you need to be convinced, and it's my word against your word about the goodness of God. Unless I go to His word and it tells me that He is good and He is limitless, He is too powerful to ever fail. All right, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Wow, those are kind of 100% words, aren't they? I love those words, exceeding abundantly. Above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. If we are God's child, what is the power that should be dictating our lives? The Holy Spirit, isn't it? Well, then why do I struggle in a day wondering whether God is actually powerful? It's because I don't believe His word. Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I've had some very impossible situations in my life. Some of them have not been resolved yet. I may not live to see some of them resolved. But according to God's word, He says, nothing shall be impossible. Now, it's my word against His word. That kind of puts things in focus, doesn't it? Who is the dirty, rotten sinner? Me. Who is the God of heaven who says that He is in control? Is He in control of the White House? Yes. Do we need to pray for that man in the White House and his family and ask God to work in their lives? Yes, we do. is it impossible? From a day-to-day appearance, it could appear that this is impossible and that we're all going down together. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Jeremiah 32:17. I love this verse. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven, the earth, by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Did I have anything to do with this earth and the heavens? No. I've dirtied it up, but I didn't do anything to make it the way it is. And he made it all. Ah, Lord God, look what you did. With your stretched out arm, you spoke and it came to be. There is nothing too hard for thee. Well, what about my wayward son? What about my grandchild that has cancer? What about my unborn baby? Is that baby going to be fine? We fret and stew. And with God, nothing is impossible and nothing is too hard. All right, now, every time I give you a statement, I will ask you a question, and then we're going to make a choice after every little section. Here's your question. What treasure of your heart, or of my heart, I've asked myself these questions, seems too big for God to fix or work out? What treasure of my heart seems too big for me to fix or for God to fix or work out? Probably for 90% of you, you're sitting here and you're saying, I know what that is. What is the choice that we have to make? I choose to trust God's power. Now, those are daily choices that I make. I make them every day. When I don't understand, or when I think God is, he's missed this one, he's not really concerned, what do my choices make me do? They either make me run to Christ or run away from him and choose to trust my own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. I love to help God. I love to help him. And I love to choose the timing when he should fix something. Number two, God is limitless in his knowledge. He's too knowledgeable to ever be caught by surprise. Psalm 139, verse 1 through 4. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou knowest my thought afar off. He knows what I'm going to think on Monday. Thou compassest my path in my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You know what I'm going to say. Before I ever speak to ladies, I always ask God to put a watch over my mouth. Maybe I should have thought more about that before I made Tony stand up. But that was our fun time. Here's my question to you. What treasure of your heart is past God's knowledge? What treasure of your heart? We all have treasures of our heart. Does he really know? This is my choice. And again, this morning, I had a situation already this morning where I had to choose God's knowledge. God, I know you know. you know what is going to happen in this particular situation. Would you please help me to not try to think that this one has passed you and you didn't catch it. He doesn't look down and say, oh my word, I did not know that she was going to leave the wilds 3 years ago. I thought I would die there. We had already picked out our plots in the little graveyard on the top of the mountain. Mac's parents are buried there, and we were going to be buried right side of them. Now you say, well, what does that matter? You're not going to be here. I know. But that was trauma. That was traumatic for my heart. There were other things that were very traumatic about a move after 35 years. But God, He ordered another plan, and He wasn't surprised. And has He taken care of us? I have had to choose that God knows more than I know. You sit here and you say, I know that. But what situation in your life do you think is past His knowledge, that He really might not get this? Number three, God is limitless in His presence. These are all very intertwined together. He is limitless in His presence. He is too near to ever be late in coming to my rescue. Have you ever been in a situation where you just cried out to God because you thought it was too late? Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I love the song that Mac has written, My God is Near. The first verse talks about God's presence being a confrontation. Make me, Lord, to know that You're there when I feel so alone. And His presence is a confrontation. Lord, I need to know this because I need You to confront me with truth so that I will believe the right thing. And the second verse is a comfort. Make me know Your presence, Lord. And I can't remember the words. They're just gone just like that. That's what happens when you get in your 60s. Things just slip away. But the second verse is actually a comfort to me. So I choose, well, we're not there yet. Let's give you another verse. Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10 says, whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? And then it goes through a list. If I go all the way around the world, if I go this way to the North Pole and then to the South Pole, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. Does that mean He's pretty close if He's holding on to me? But I have to run back to this scripture a lot because my flesh is fearful. And sometimes I say, I know this truth. But, and then we ramble on and on about where is He and is He going to be too late to come to my rescue? God's presence is a confrontation and a comfort. And there are some of you that have come to me already and said that you heard me speak a long time ago and you said, I said something, practice God's presence. And I'm telling you today, that is a critical thought that I choose to practice His presence every day as I go through the day. I climbed in that car yesterday and thought, okay, this is not a real long drive, but I really don't know these roads, and I'm kind of alone. what do you say, well, get a grip. I did. I really actually enjoyed it. But there were a couple times yesterday where people were not paying attention. I was really paying attention. But there were others around me that were not. And I saw some terrible things happen on my trip down here yesterday. Close calls, things, and I thought, that could be me, but God has chosen to help me get through this part of the journey. And I learned some good spiritual truths, that God was my comfort yesterday as I saw some terrible things take place in front of me. Jeremiah 23:24 says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord, do I not fill heaven and earth? He's everywhere. So we can't hide from him. Do you know, my timing is often a lot different than God's timing. I've had to go back to these passages over and over again to come back to correct thinking about practicing his presence. I remember just waiting for the choice of a life's partner. It was very difficult for me because I really wanted to be married when I was 19. And I really did work it out that I almost got married when I was 19. And the Lord was so gracious to me to let that break up. It was a terribly difficult time for me, but God was in the midst of it. He said, not yet, you're not ready. And he forced that because I really, truly did want God's will, but I still thought that my plan was within his plan. And so I pushed my plan. As we grow older, we develop health issues. I was in a terrible, terrible accident 40 years ago, and we took care of the things that were real problems at that time. I had a compound dislocation of my right ankle, and they almost had to amputate my leg, and it was a very, very critical time in my life, and they took care of all that, and I had an ankle replacement, and you know, it was only supposed to last like 25 years, and it's still in there, and it's letting me know it's not doing so great, but that's okay. You know, the Lord is watching out for me. But at that time, I had some severe back injuries that were not handled, and I just kept plowing through life. But now, in the last 3 years, all these things are happening. Now, is God present with me? Is he going to help us to know how to get a back transplant? Can't do that. But, you know, we just don't know. Many of you live in extreme critical situations in your health. What treasure of your heart is making you think that God's timing is off and that he needs to fix these things and that he is not working in your timetable? What is my choice? I choose to trust God's timing. Our insurance has changed since we went to Catawba Springs, and it's changed now twice. And all the young staff members are getting really, really good results from this. But Mac and I are just not seeing the good results from our insurance. So I can't do anything about my back. Now, I could say, they should take better care of us. No, God knows exactly what he is doing. And we are waiting on him for his timetable. And he's going to take care of me. Do you believe that? Well, what about yourself? Is he going to take care of you? Yes, he is. He says in his word. Okay, number four. God is limitless in his wisdom. He is too wise to ever make a mistake. God is too good to do wrong and too wise to ever make a mistake. Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and he is a buckler to all those who trust in him. Romans 11:33 and 34, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? 1 Corinthians 1:25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Is God wise? Yes. But sometimes we think we are wiser than God, and so we step ahead of him. And if God had any weakness, which he doesn't, it would still be stronger than what I am. What treasure of your heart seems to have gone awry? What has not gone the way you think it should have gone? God has not failed, and he is at work, even when we can't see it. Why? How do I know that? Well, I just gave you three of hundreds of verses. Therefore, what is my choice? I choose to trust the wisdom of an all-knowing, trustworthy Heavenly Father. Does this sound like it takes a lot of practice? Oh, it absolutely does. I think wrong every day. You say, the devil made me do that. No, no. My own sinful flesh always wants to go another way that's easier. I don't like to be stretched. I don't like for God to test me. But when do the best growth results happen in my life? When things don't go my way. Because I have to make some choices. All right, God is great. God is good. Number one, God is limitless in his love. He is too loving to ever reject me. I saw something on Fox News real early this morning, you know, about bullying, and would you jump in when you see someone being bullied? And I stood there and I thought, yes, I would. I really would. I don't like to see injustice. And I thought about the times in my life that I thought people were rejecting me. I remember as a child, I was born with funny looking thumbs, different kind of thumbs. And people would make fun of me as a child for my thumbs, call me square thumb. And, you know, and it wasn't until I was probably in my 20s, I would sit like this. One day I actually went to school and had all this gauze and lots of methylate. I don't know if you old timers remember the red medicine. And I poured it all over me and I put my thumbs like this. I wrapped my hand up and had gauze and adhesive tape. And I told kids in my class that were making fun of me that I had them cut off. Well, you know, that was not a good day in my life. Because they took me to the office and they called my mother. You know, that was not a great time. But that was to me, that was an injustice. And you know what? It was when I was in my 20s that I realized these are the thumbs that God gave me to do the work that he's given me to do. And I've not met lots and lots and lots of people that have thumbs like mine. And you say, that is just ridiculous. But to me, that was really, really a thing that caused me to question God's love for me. Why did he make me this way? Jeremiah 31:3, The Lord hath appeared unto me of old, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. What a sweet, sweet verse. Romans 5:8. I'm going to give you passages and you look them up later. Romans 8:35-39. My question, whom or what do you treasure? Who will always love you and accept you? What is my choice? I choose to believe God's word and trust his love is never failing. Number two, God is limitless in his compassion. He is too compassionate to ever be uncaring. Again, these are so intertwined and woven together. Psalm 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Here's your assignment, Lamentations 3:32-33. Psalm 103:11-14. Psalm 103:11-14. Does God care about the treasures of your heart? Does Psalm 37:4 really apply to you? What's my choice? I choose to trust and prove his word about his care of the things that concern me. Number three, God is limitless in his faithfulness. He is too faithful to ever leave me. Now, some of you sit here today and you have probably had an unfaithful husband. You have had unfaithful friends. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I love this verse. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. He's Tony's God. He's Letitia's God. But he's my God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If he has called you to do something, he will fulfill that in your life. Well, I don't like what he's called me to do. Okay, then you need your wanter change. You need to go back to Psalm 37 and find out where you left God out. Deuteronomy 31:8. He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Hundreds of times in the Bible, God said, don't fear. If you follow the Christmas story, lots of times God said to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men, don't be afraid. Don't we all want to know that we belong to someone? Of course we do. And don't we want to be apart? Sure we do. We don't like to be alone for any long periods of time. God is there and he is near to us. And I treasure this attribute of God, his faithfulness. So what do I choose? I choose to practice his presence. Even when I don't feel very secure. And number four, God is limitless in his provision. He is too generous to ever withhold anything I need. Philippians 4:19 is the master verse of this. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 34:9. Why do we not always get what our heart treasures? Well, sometimes I get caught up with things and stuff. Whatever holds my eye molds my heart. Whatever holds my eye, whatever I gaze on and go after, that's what holds my heart. So what is our choice? We must choose to love the things that God loves and believe that He will only give us what we need to make us look like Him. The last part of the verse, God is great, God is good, and we thank Him. That's the end of my session, and we thank Him. So on a daily basis, the last thing I do at night, even when I don't feel like it, I thank Him for what He has sent. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, Beth Lynch. These are my truths that I treasure. I come back to them all the time to find out, why? What am I not believing about the God of heaven? And I can always find my problem in one of these things. Lord, thank you.